Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Gregory Stories, the radio show about the life and times of Gregory Girard, the Las Vegas entertainment promoter. Your host is Gregory Girard, a.k.a. G-Money, the self-proclaimed pimp comic, and the teacher from the streets. Gregory invites you to visit him at blogtalkradio.com/GregoryGirard. You can listen to past episodes, subscribe to his show, and leave a comment. If you're an artist with original music or lyrics, just send your press kit to Gregory at bigmouthgbg@juno.com. On today's show, Gregory tells more stories from his life and takes calls from his listening audience. To listen in or join the conversation, go to blogtalkradio.com/GregoryGirard or call 563-999-3560. That's 563-999-3560. And now, here's your host, Gregory Girard.
You know, when I came home from college, my baby brother, Big Nasty, he was 12 years old. And he decided he wanted to play baseball. So he had signed up at Del Amo Park to play baseball. And I went out to watch him play his first game because his big brother was a baseball fanatic. You know, I really was. I had planned to go pro and everything. So when I came home from college, I was looking forward to my brother playing baseball. And he went out, and he had his team all together, and everybody was there. And I was sitting in the bleachers getting ready for the game to start. And then the umpire said that they couldn't play the game. And I couldn't understand why. So I asked my brother, I said, "What's going on?" What's up, Las Vegas, and everybody around the world? This is G-Money, the Pimp Comic, and I'm hosting Gregory Story. It's an internet radio show where we're broadcasting around the world. That's right, I'm broadcasting on 7 continents so that everybody can pull up the radio show and listen to the activities I'm talking about. I got the best radio show on the planet. And I'm the entertainer of the year for 2022. So, welcome, everybody, to Gregory's Stories. Well, I'm G-Money, the Pimp Comic, and I want to talk about the Major League Baseball. Let's talk Major League Baseball. G-Money Sports Report.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
Buy me some peanuts, some crack.
Some crack?
Buy me some peanuts, some crack.
Some crack?
Buy me some peanuts, some crack.
Some crack? You want to get some crack? Okay, that sounds good.
I don't care if we never get back. Let me root.
Yeah, what's up, Las Vegas? Let's talk about the Major League Baseball. They have about 6 games left in the season, and then the teams have been jockeying for a position to play in the playoffs, which will start in the month of October. So, let's talk about the teams that have lined up for the playoffs. In the American League, the first place team is the Houston Astros, and the second place team is the New York Yankees, and the third place team is the Toronto Blue Jays, and the fourth place team is the Cleveland Guardians, and the fifth place team is the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. and that's the top five teams in the American League. Now, let's talk about the top five teams in the National League. Well, the National League has been jockeying for position. They've been winning and losing and playing ball to see who's going to qualify for the top five teams in the National League. And the top five teams are as follows. The Los Angeles Dodgers are in first place. The New York Mets are in second place. The Atlanta Braves are in third place. The San Diego Padres are in fourth place. And fifth place is the St. Louis Cardinals. And that's the top five teams in the National League. So that's the baseball standings right now before they get started playing in the playoffs. So that's G Money Sports Report for today, Thursday, September 29th, 2022. Now let's talk about the NFL, G Money's Football Sports Report. Let's talk about the NFL. All right. Well, this is week number four, beginning today with Thursday night's football game. And who's playing tonight, DJ Papa D?
Tonight, the Miami Dolphins are playing the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati, and they're giving the Dolphins 4 points.
Oh, man. I think that's too many points. But I'm going to pick Miami to win. And what's the total points of the game?
48.5.
Oh, that's a lot of points. I don't think Cincinnati Bengals is going to score a lot of points. But Miami has a good offense, so they may score a few points. But I'm going to take Miami for the win and the over. It's going to be over the total points. 48 points? Yeah. So Miami and the
all
over.
All right, Miami. All right, Miami and over. So do you want to continue with the rest of the games, the rest of the week four?
Let's talk about Sunday's games. Yep.
All right. Game number two, the Minnesota Vikings play the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, and they're giving the Saints 3 points.
Okay. I don't think that's enough points. I think the Minnesota Vikings is going to win the game outright. And that'll be one of the cinch bets I'm betting this week in the casino. So I'm going to take Miami, and it'll probably be over whatever the sports book pick as the total points for the game. So what are they saying is going to be total points? About 40, maybe 42?
Total points is 43, but who are you choosing, Minnesota Vikings or the New Orleans Saints?
Minnesota Vikings all day long.
Okay.
And the over.
Vikings and over, okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to the sports book to bet on that game. So I'm going to take Minnesota and the over for the win.
All right.
All right.
Vikings and
let's
over.
Go to game.
Game number three. The Seattle Seahawks are playing the Detroit Lions in Detroit, and they're giving the Seahawks 4 points.
Okay. I think I'm going to take Seattle and the 4 points. And what's the total points for the game? I know it's going to be low. It'll probably be 40 points or 38 points or something like that.
Total points is 48.
48? Well, that's a whole lot of points. All right. Well, I'm going to take Seattle for the win and the under. It'll be under 48 points for sure.
All right. Seahawks and under. Game
number. Yes. Go ahead.
Game number four. Game number four, the New York Jets are playing the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and they're giving the Jets 3 points.
Well, the Jets need more than 3 points when they're playing Pittsburgh. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh in for the win, and what's the total point? And this
total
is the bet I'm going to make in the sports book.
Total points is 41 and a half.
Okay, that's too many. So I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers for the win, and it'll be under 41 points. Because I don't think the Jets are going to score a lot of points. And I really don't think Pittsburgh is going to score a lot of points. So I'm taking Pittsburgh for the win, but the under. And I'm betting on that at the sports book. That's another cinch for me.
All right, Steelers and under. Game number five, the Chicago Bears are playing the New York Giants in New York, and they're giving the Bears 2.5 points.
That sounds like that's going to be a pretty even game. I think the Bears are 2-1, and the Giants are 2-1. So it's a pretty even game going in. But I'm going to still take the Giants for the win. And what's the total points?
Total points is 39.5.
Oh, that's real low. I'm going to take the Giants for the win, and I should take it over 38 points. Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants in the over for 38 points. I think the Bears will score a few points, and the Giants have a good offense. So I think it will be a high-scoring game. At least both of them will score about 20 points.
All right, so, Giants and over. Game number six, the Tennessee Titans are playing the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis, and they're giving the Titans 3.5 points.
No, not enough points. I'm going to take the Indianapolis Colts for the win. And what's the total points for the game?
Total points is 43.
I don't think that's enough points. I mean, I think that's too many points. Just saying, Tennessee Titans, they haven't been scoring a lot of points. And the Indianapolis Colts just kind of got their offense rolling. So I'm thinking that Indianapolis Colts will probably score about 25 points, and the Tennessee Titans may score a touchdown. So I'm going to take the Indianapolis Colts, and you said the total points is 40.
Total point is 43.
Yeah, I think I'll take the Indianapolis Colts and the under, because I don't think either one of them is going to score a lot of points. I don't think it would be a shootout. So,
all right,
Indianapolis
Colts. All right, Colts and under. Next up, the L.A. Chargers are playing the Houston Texans in Houston, and they're giving the Texans 5 points.
Okay, not enough points to Houston. I'm going to take the Chargers for the win. And what's the total points for the game?
Points is 43.
I think that's too much. I'll take the Los Angeles Chargers and the under for the win.
The Cleveland Browns are playing the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta, and they're giving the Falcons 1 point.
Not enough points. I'm going to take Cleveland for the win and the under. What's the total point?
Total points is 47.5.
Oh, no. Neither one of them will score that many points. So I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns for the win, and it'll be under the total points. Yep. Cleveland Browns and the under for the win.
All right, Browns and under. Next up, game number 9, the Washington Commanders are playing the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. And they're giving the Commanders 3.5 points.
You know, that's really interesting. The Commanders haven't played good all year. In the preseason, they played really good. They won all their games in the preseason. But in the regular season, they haven't been scoring a lot. And Dallas really doesn't have a good offense or a good defense. They got a quarterback that got hurt. So Dallas can't score. So I'm going to take the Washington Commanders and the under. What's the total point?
Total points is 41.
41, yeah. That's too many for Washington and for Dallas. I think Dallas might get 14 points, and Washington may score 20. So that'll be 30 points, but that's it. So I'm taking Washington for the win and the under.
All right. Commanders and under. Game number 10, the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia, and they're giving the Jaguars 6.5 points.
And where are they playing? In Philly or in Jacksonville?
Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take Philly for the win. And the total points you said was 46?
Total points is 45.5.
45. Jacksonville may score 18 points. And Philly will beat them by 10. So Philly will have 28 points. So 28 and 10 is 38. What's the total point? No, 28 and 10 is 28. It's 38. Yeah, 38. Okay, and the total points is 40. How much?
45 and a half.
45. Okay, I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles. That's who's playing Jacksonville, right? Philadelphia?
Right.
I remember that right. Philadelphia. Okay. I'm going to take Philly and the under. Because it would be less than 48 points. And that's the bet that I'm making in the sports book this week. Philly and the under with the total point.
All right. Eagles and under. Game number 11, the Buffalo Bills are playing the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. And they're giving the Ravens 3 points.
Oh, that's going to be a good game. And the game, you said the game is going to be played in Baltimore? Oh, okay. Well, wow, that's going to be a good game. I don't know who to pick on that one because Buffalo just got beat last week by the Miami Dolphins, so they're going to try to revenge their loss. And Baltimore Ravens, I don't think they've lost a game this year. I think they're undefeated. So, and they're talking about Jackson is running all over the place. So, I'm going to take, let me see, who can I take to win? Buffalo is going to be coming off of a loss, and Jackson and Baltimore, I think, only has one loss, I think. So I would bet I'm going to say, and it's Baltimore playing in Baltimore.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens playing at home. And the total points, it should be a shootout. The game should be high scoring. So what's the total points for that game? I know it's going to be like 50-something.
Total points is 51.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of points. But both of those teams are high-scoring teams. So I'm going to take Baltimore in the over. I think together, them and the Buffalo Bills will score a lot of points. So I'm going to take Baltimore Ravens and the over.
All right, Ravens and over. Game number 12, the Arizona Cardinals are playing the Carolina Panthers. And they're giving the Cardinals 1.5 points.
1.5 points? Oh, man. The Cardinals should be way ahead on this game because the Panthers only won one game. So I'm thinking the Arizona Cardinals have a better team. They're more organized, and they've been losing, but they've been scoring a lot of points. So I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals for the win, and the total for the game?
Total points is 43.5.
Nah, it's too much. I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals for the win and the under.
Cardinals and under.
I don't think Carolina's got it.
I don't think Carolina's going to score very many points. I think Arizona's defense is going to shut them down.
Okay. Carolina, Cardinals, and under. Next up,
yep.
The Denver Broncos are playing the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas, and they're giving the Broncos 2.5 points.
I'm going to take the Broncos and the 2.5 points. And I'm going to take the Broncos for the win here in Vegas against the Raiders. Because the Raiders are 0-3, and I don't think they're going to win the next week's game. I don't think they have coaching or the firepower of the team. And I think Russell Wilson's going to get his game together, and he'll have his team ready to play when they come to Vegas. I'll take the Denver Broncos. And what's the total points?
Total points is 45.5.
That's a lot of points. I'm going to take Denver Broncos in the over. That's what I'll do. I'll take the Denver Broncos for the win and the over. Because I think the Raiders will probably score a lot of points in the fourth quarter. They'll be playing catch-up, and they'll send the game into overtime. So I think it'll be like 50 points between the two of those teams. So the Denver Broncos and the over.
All right, Broncos and over. Game number 14, the New England Patriots are playing the Green Bay Packers, and they're giving the Patriots 9 points.
For the Patriots? Against the Packers?
Yep.
And where are they playing?
Yeah.
Are they playing in Wisconsin? In Green Bay. Okay. Maybe the weather will be bad in Green Bay. So, well, I'm really thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to make up for. Well, he won last week. He beat Tom Brady. So he should be on a roll now. And New England only won. They won a game last week, but they're not really together yet. So I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers and the total points.
Total points is 40.5.
Ooh, that's low. Okay, I'm going to take Green Bay in the over for the win because I'm thinking that the Patriots may score 20 and Green Bay will probably score about 24. So that would be more than 40 points. So that would give Green Bay the win. So I'm going to take Green Bay in the over for the win.
All right, Packers in over. Game number 15, the Kansas City Chiefs are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay, and they're giving the Chiefs 1 point.
Sports will think that's going to be an even game. Since Tom Brady lost last week, but Kansas City lost last week, too. Okay. Well,
Well, I'm betting against Tom Brady, so I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs for the win. And what's the total points for the game? I hope it's like about 50.
Total points is 46.
That's kind of low for those two teams. So I'm going to take Kansas City and the over because I think they're going to come out blazing against Tom Brady and his team. Yeah, they don't have to if they're going to beat Tom Brady. They got to come out blazing. So Kansas City Chiefs and the over.
All right, Chiefs and over. And game number 16, which is Monday night next week, the L.A. Rams are playing the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco or in the Bay Area. And they're giving the Rams 1.5 points.
Well, San Francisco's playing with Garoppolo, and he's going to bring San Francisco up. I think the Rams will be trying to get their team organized. Their quarterback is somebody, Joseph. I think he's the quarterback, and he's not bad. They're the defending world champions. So they beat San Francisco last year. So I think they'll beat them again. I'll take the Rams for the win. And what's the total points?
Total points is 42.5.
Oh, that's kind of low. So I'll take Rams in the over for the win because it's going to be a shootout. And San Francisco's going to score a lot of points. And the Rams are going to have to beat them, so that means they're going to have to score more points. So, Los Angeles Rams and the over for the win.
All right, Rams and over. And those are G-Money's picks for week 4 of the NFL.
All righty then. That's G-Money Sports Report for today, for week number 4 on September 29th, 2022. All right, let's take a commercial break. And, oh, yeah, we're going to give respect to Coolio. Did you get my message, DJ, about Coolio?
Yeah, I got your message about Coolio.
All right. Yeah, Coolio died.
Coolio passed away yesterday of a heart attack.
Yeah. That was yesterday. It wasn't this morning. All right. So we want to play some Coolio music today and honor up Coolio, Ivan somebody. His name was Ivan somebody, known as Coolio. And you know, Coolio was from L.A. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I thought he was from New Jersey or something. He was born in Pennsylvania.
I was going to say but I think he came to L.A. to do music. He got signed by our L.A. record label. But anyway, Let's hear from Coolio if we got some music now. If not, let's listen to some more clips from G Money's story. And we'll be back for more of the show in a minute.
I had gone to this club in Long Beach, and I took my pictures that night, and I went and sat at the bus stop waiting for my ride to go home. Well, these two girls walked by me, and they stopped, and they started flirting with me. And they were like, "What's up, baby? What you doing?" And I said, "I'm waiting on the bus. Unfortunately, my ride doesn't come until 6 o'clock in the morning." And they said, "Why don't you come with us? We got a house not too far from here, and you can keep us company till 6 o'clock in the morning." And I said, "Oh, well, that sounds kind of interesting." And one of the girls said, "Well, I got some weed." And the other girl said, "And I got some cognac." And I said, "Oh, cognac and weed? Yeah, okay."
Get a piece of the apple pie. Every game ain't the same, cause the game still remains. Don't it seem kinda strange? Ain't a damn thing changed. If you don't work, then you don't eat. And only down ass niggas can ride with me. Hop, 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 if I quickly down the block. Stay sucker free and keep the busters off your block. You gotta have heart, son, if you wanna go. Watch this sweet chariot swing low. Ain't nobody crying, ain't nobody dying, ain't nobody worrying. Everybody's crying. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. If you wanna have
Come along and ride on a fantastic fly. Fly, fly, slippity fly. When you're living in the city, it's do or die. Come along and ride.
hanging out with Lisa, and Lisa had a party. Now, we're like 8 or 9 years old, you know, maybe 10. And her mother and her auntie sat on the sofa couch, and they were watching us dance. And I was dancing with Lisa. And her mother was like, oh, they look so cute together. Oh, baby, you look so good. Let me see you dance. So I broke out and did the swim, and I did the mashed potatoes. And she said, no, baby, I want to see you dance for real. And I stopped in the middle of my dance, and I was like, oh, no, I don't know what to do. I thought I was doing real dances.
We have a store on storytimewithgmoney.com where you can buy all kind of G Money products, everything from towels to blankets, from cups to shot glasses, from T-shirts to baseball caps, and from beanies to hoodies. Yes, we have it all. So just put in your order, and you'll get it with the G, with the $3 sign. That's G Money. That's my symbol, and that's my brand. G with $3 signs is a symbol that you want to look for. And we're having a contest to see who can have the most G Money products in their room. So take a picture of yourself with all your G Money gear and send it to us. And we'll put you on the internet and make you famous on YouTube.
My comedy album is going to be a big hit. So get your checkbooks ready. Get your credit cards ready. And order the comedy album so that you can have big laughs at your house.
You're listening to Gregory Stories on Blog Talk Radio. To join the conversation live, call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. You can also join us live on blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard by going to the link for this episode, clicking on the chat button, and sending us a message. If you're a talented artist with original music, then send Gregory your press kit and a sample of your original work to Gregory@BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. That's BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. And if you're good enough, you might even get a record deal. And now, back to the show.
This is Las Vegas and everybody around the world. I'm G Money, the Pimp Comic, and I'm hosting Gregory's Stories. It's an internet radio show where we're broadcasting around the world. That's right, I'm broadcasting on 7 continents so that everybody can pull up the radio show and listen to the activities I'm talking about. I have the best radio show on the planet, and I'm the entertainer of the year for 2022. So welcome, everybody, to Gregory's Story. Well, I'm G Money, the Pimp Comic, and I have a short story I want to share with you. You know, I wrote a book, and they said the book was boring. They put it on the Braille reading list, and they said that they took it off the reading list because they said the book was boring. The blind people were reading the book, and their fingers were going to sleep. Oh, I'm G Money, the Pimp Comic, and if you don't know, now you know. You know, there was a lady. I was on a train getting ready to go to Jacksonville to do a comedy show at Jacksonville University. And I got on the train and I walked by this sleeping cabinet in the second class section of the train. And when I walked by this one cabin, this lady was sitting in the cabin, and she had her baby in a car seat on the table in the cabin. Well, I walked by, and I looked at the baby, and I thought to myself, oh, that's an ugly baby. But I didn't say anything. I didn't want to embarrass the lady. So I waved at the lady, and then I blew a kiss to the baby, and I kept on walking. Well, there was a man that was walking behind me, and he must have stopped and started staring at the baby. Because the woman said, what's wrong? You act like you ain't never seen a baby before. And the man was like, yeah. In fact, I've seen a lot of babies in my lifetime. But you know what? That's the ugliest baby I ever did see. And the woman started screaming. And she was upset. And she said, I want to get off this train. So she pulled the buzzer to notify the porter, and the porter came to answer the buzzer and asked what was wrong. And she said, I didn't pay this much money to be insulted riding on this train. So I want to get off the train. Tell the engineer to stop the train and let me off because I want to ride another train. Because I can't believe that I paid this much money to get insulted like that. And the porter said, well, I don't know what to do, except I think we could move you to another section of the train, because right now you're in the second class section, and maybe we can move you to the first class section, where they'll have nicer people on the train because they have more money and they've spent more money to ride on this train. So maybe we can do that. And the lady was like, I don't know. I want to get off this train. And he said, well, let's go look at another cart. I think I have a sleeping cart that you'll really like. It's in the first class section of the train. So I think if we check that out and you like that, then I think we can give you that one for the price that you pay to ride in second class. And so he said, come with me, ma'am. Grab your baby and I will grab your suitcase and we'll go down to first class, and maybe I'll see if you like this first class sleeping cabin to ride in. And she said, okay, but I still want to get off this train. I'm still mad. And he said, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, but we're trying to do the best we can to give you better accommodation. So they walked through the train. And they ended up in the first class section. And the man put the key in and he opened the door and he told the lady, this is the Supreme Express cabin. This is the best cabin we have on the train for the sleeper cabin. And she looked inside and he said, go ahead, go inside and look at the amenities inside this sleeping cabinet, and I really think you'll like it. And she walked in, and she looked around, and he started pointing amenities out to her. He said, see, you have this giant table that stretches out throughout the room, and then you have reclining chairs that sit around the table so that you can eat your dinner or your breakfast or your meal in here. And you can even recline the seats to sleep in the seats if you want to. And the beds in here are the kind of beds that pull out, and they're queen size beds, so they're extra large for you to pull out, and you can have luxury sleeping in the sleeping car. And she looked, she said, yeah, that looks all right. And he said, the TV, we get all of the channels from around the world. So you can watch TV and watch any channel that you want to, because our TV gets a lot of channels from all around the world. And she said, oh, well, that sounds nice. And then he said, and that remote on the table over there, you can use that remote to program, to pull up any radio station that's in the United States. And you can listen and program it to any station that you want to listen to. And she said, oh, well, that's nice. I like that. And he said, and there's a phone in this room that you can use to call the kitchen. And if you want to order something to eat, the kitchen will deliver to your room. And the woman said, well, that's really nice. And he said, yes, and the kitchen will deliver anything that you want into your room. And you can also call the bar. You see they have the menu on the table? Well, that's the menu for all the drinks that they serve in the bar. So that's a good menu, and you can order any drink on the menu, and then the bartender from the bar will bring the drinks to your room. And you don't have to get up and go get anything. We will deliver it to your room, and you just pay the bartender when he gets it. And she said, oh, well, that's really good. I like that a lot. And he said, do you think you want to stay in this room? And she said, yes, I think I'll stay in this room. This is a first-class suite. And I like it very much. And it's better than where I was before because they had some rude people down there on that end. And he said, okay, well, since we're real close to the kitchen, I'm going to go to the kitchen and see if I can get us some snacks. And she said, okay. And he walked out and went down the hall past the bar to the kitchen. And he was talking to the kitchen manager, and he got a couple of things. And then he walked back and knocked on her door, and she opened the door for him. And he said, see, I did get some snacks for you. I got you a couple of bananas for you and your baby monkey. Ah, I'm G-Money, the Pimp Tommy, and if you didn't know, now you know. Well, I'm G-Money, the Pimp Tommy, and we're getting back to the radio show, and we'll be back for more of the show in a minute. My daddy had a friend that had a big house, and he ended up putting a pool in the backyard of his house. And he had three big Great Dane dogs that were running around the yard in the pool area. And me and my brothers were swimming in the pool, and the dogs were swimming in the pool behind us. And they would be swimming around waiting on us to come up for air, and then they would be pouncing on top of us. I mean, this dog was like a giant horse, and he would dive in the pool right after us And when you came up to get air, he would pounce on you. And every time they were on top of us, it was a situation where either we had to get away or we had to drown. So we had some good times at that pool. And then the waitress came, and she had all these little shot glasses that were all different colors, and she asked us if we wanted some shots. And I said, sure we do. So I bought about 10 shots and put them on our table, and I told the girl, I said, hey, sweetheart, taste this shot and tell me what you think. And she took it, and she took it straight to the head. I mean, she just turned it up. And she said, oh, that one was good. And I said, well, go ahead, take another one. And we had all these different shots in these colored glasses. And she just took shot after shot after shot after shot. She took about 7 shots. And afterwards, she said, whoa, I'm getting a little dizzy.
Listening to Gregory Stories on Blog Talk Radio. To join the conversation live, call 323-870-4366. That's 323-870-4366. You can also join us live on blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard by going to the link for this episode, clicking on the chat button, and sending us a message. If you're a talented artist with original music, then send Gregory your press kit and a sample of your original work to Gregory at BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. That's BigMouthGVG@Juno.com. And if you're good enough, you might even get a record deal. And now, back to the show.
What's up, Las Vegas, and everybody around the world? This is G Money, the Pimp Comic, and I'm hosting Gregory Stories. It's an internet radio show where we're broadcasting around the world. That's right. I'm broadcasting on 7 continents so that everybody can pull up the radio show and listen to the activities I'm talking about. I got the best radio show on the planet, and I'm the entertainer of the year for 2022. So welcome, everybody, to Gregory Story. Well, I'm Gene Money, the Pimp Comic, and I have a short story I want to share with you today. My daddy was working downtown Los Angeles at City Hall, and when he got off of work, he would go hang out at the bowling alley with his friends. And the bowling alley he hung out at was right by USC. That's the University of Southern California. And it was called Trojan Bowl because it was named after the college. And my daddy's friend owned the bowling alley. And it wasn't a big bowling alley. It had about 16 lanes. But it was really nice. And it was like a real friendly place to go and visit. And my daddy would come home from work, and he'd go bowling. And he bowled about, like, 9 o'clock at night. So sometimes he would come home when I got a little older. He would pick me up and take me down to the bowling alley with him so I could sit and watch him bowl. And I could meet with all of his friends, because he had a lot of friends, especially all of his friends that came from Louisiana, where he was born and raised. They all hung out at Trojan Bowl. So I would hang out with them on the days that I didn't have to go to school the next morning. So I would be down there watching my dad bowl, and he was a pretty good bowler. He had kind of a funny delivery. They called it a figure eight, which he swung his hand back and twisted his wrist behind his back, and then he swung the ball out to bowl it. It was a real strange delivery, and later on in life, it caused him a lot of problems because he didn't bowl so good later on in life. But anyway, he would be bowling at Trojan Bowl. And I would go down there and I would sit and hang out with all of his friends. And they would always buy me sodas and french fries while I was sitting watching them bowl. And I met all of my daddy's friends that were down there. So I felt real comfortable. I felt like I was hanging out with the grown-ups and I was having a good time. Well, that went on for a while. And then my mother started bowling. I think my daddy had taken my mother out on some bowling dates and had taught her how to bowl. And my mother had picked up some real good bowling tips, and she was a good bowler. So my daddy was bowling at night, and then my mother would bowl during the daytime. She joined a bowling league that was called 600 Travel. 600 Travel was the league she bowled. And it was all these women, and they bowled at a lot of bowling alleys that were really big. And I used to go down and sit with her while she was bowling. And as I got older, she even taught me how to keep score. And I realized that I could make some money if I go to the bowling alley. Because not only did the bowlers didn't want to keep their own score, but they wanted to pay somebody to keep the score. And so my mother had taught me how to keep score. And I became a good scorekeeper. And, you know, I sat down at the table where the scorekeepers sit, and I kept score for my mother's team. Now, as a scorekeeper, you get a dollar per person. So if my mother's team had four players on her team, that means I got $4 for her team. And then the other team, I got $4 for the four people on their team. So I ended up getting $8 to keep score for my mother's teams while they were bowling. And I liked that. And I got to meet all my mother's friends, and that was really fun. And as I grew up and got older, then my brothers came along, and I was 5 years older than my third brother, and I was 3 years older than my brother under me. So the three of us would go to the bowling alleys together with my mother, and we would play tag. If I wasn't keeping score, then we were running around the bowling alley. And the bowling alley my mother bowled at was a real big bowling alley. It was two levels, and it was called Midtown Bowl. And it was off of Pico and Crenshaw, and it was a big bowling alley. And my mother bowled in a big league that had like 36 lanes. So it was like 36 teams that were bowling in her bowling league. And we would go, and they always had donuts for the ladies to eat in the morning. So me and my brothers would go, and we'd go and eat up all the donuts. We'd go from the top floor to the bottom floor, and we'd be eating up donuts before all the ladies could eat up all the donuts, because we figured the ladies were on a diet, so they weren't really trying to eat a bunch of donuts. But me and my brothers, we would run down one side of the lane, and we'd eat up all the donuts on that floor. And then we'd go up to the floor upstairs, and we'd eat all the donuts on that floor. And we went back and forth eating up all the donuts. And when we went to the bowling alley with my mother, it was always good, because my mother always treated us to drinks and to french fries. So we had drinks and french fries while we were eating up all the ladies' donuts. It was really good. And me and my brothers were playing like hide and seek, and we played run, and we played tag, and we did a lot of stuff running around the bowling alley. But this is when I was really a young person, and I was too young to keep score. Me and my brothers would all be playing at the bowling alley, and we'd be running around and eating all the donuts and drinking sodas and eating the french fries. So we had a lot of fun just running up and down the stairs and going upstairs and downstairs at the bowling alley. So it was really good. We had a good time. And then my mother had taught me how to keep score. So I started keeping score while my brothers were running back and forth and up and down at the bowling alley. I started keeping score for my mother, and I started making money. And I had a good time because the ladies really treated me. They bought me sodas to drink while I was keeping score, and I had a good time. And a couple of times, there would be like two leagues. There'd be my mother's league, and then there'd be another league after my mother's league. So she'd come to bowl at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and she'd finish at 12. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, they would have a second league. And if I was lucky, I got to keep score in the second league. So that was another $8 I got for keeping score. So keeping score became a real good money-making situation for me. And I kept score for my daddy at night. And then I kept score for my mother during the daytime. And I had a lot of extra money sitting around because I would always go with my mother to keep score, or I'd go with my dad to keep score. And they always had their friends that didn't mind me keeping score. And I tried not to mess up because I tried to make sure that I kept the correct scores. And some of the ladies would correct me if I made a mistake. And that was okay. They looked after me. It was good. And my daddy's friends would look after me too. So if I was keeping their score, they would look after me and they would let me know when I made a mistake. And I was appreciative of that. And I always liked to be able to keep score when I went down to watch my daddy bowl or watch my mother bowl. It was a good time. Now, my mother and my father bowled in a league together when they were at Manchester Western. That was the name of the bowling alley. And it was on the corner of Manchester and Western. So we would go in there and we would bowl. I would sit and watch them bowl. And if I was lucky, I got to keep score in the Manchester Western bowling alley. So I had a good time. And I always liked to go with my mom or my dad when they went out and went bowling. I was always looking forward to keeping score and making some money. But we bowled. They bowled at Manchester Western. My father bowled at Trojan Bowl. My mother bowled at Midtown. And then they bowled together at Manchester Western. And then my mother went and bowled at Pro 300. And my daddy bowled with my mother at Pro 300. And that was in Hawthorne. So I was moving around the city, going to all these different bowling alleys with my parents, and I was keeping score. But my brothers were really too young to actually keep score. I don't know if they ever learned how to keep score, but I was from a bowling family. So eventually, when I turned about 12 or 13, I went to Jola Bowl in Inglewood, and I joined the bowling league for juniors. And I was bowling with people my age, and I was learning to bowl really good. I became a really good bowler. I was being able to bowl 120, which is a good score. If you're constant and you can bowl regularly 120, that's a good score. But if you get hot and you can pick up some spares and you get a couple of strikes in a row, then you can bowl like a 160 or a 170 score. And that's what I was shooting for. I was shooting to be a 160 bowler. Now, I really tried hard, and I really concentrated on my bowling game. But my mother would take me to the bowling alley, and she would watch me bowl, and she would give me tips on how I'm bowling. So I would always follow her tips, and I would try to bowl the best that I could bowl. And I bowled in a couple of travel leagues, which let me bowl with kids that were as old as I was or a little older than me. I bowled with some kids that were like 22, 23 years old. And I was like 18 or 19 when I was bowling in a travel league. But my team was pretty good. It was me and two white boys, a William Bobo and a Daryl Strojan. And then we had one black girl. Her name was Mary Murray, was her name. So it was me and the three of them, which made a four-man team. And we bowled in the travel league together. But we're still bowling as juniors. We're not bowling as adults. So we're not bowling for no money. We're bowling for trophies and prizes. And we had a pretty good team. We didn't never win anything, but we had a good time. And we bowled every week. So I would go out on Sunday and bowl in the travel league with my team. And we bowled really well. And then one year, we went to Tropicana Bowling Alley, which is in Inglewood, and it's closer to Hawthorne. But we bowled at Tropicana Bowling Alley, and I bowled with my daddy. And it was a two-man team. It was a father and son league. And me and my daddy got out there, and we shot up the house, boy. We won the league. We won first place. I won most improved bowler, and I won a first place trophy. Oh, yeah. And we were bowling against some of my buddies that are now professional bowlers. And their daddies were professional bowlers. But when we bowled against them, it was a handicap league. So we got extra points to add to our score because of the handicap. Like I had like a 160 average, and my daddy had like a 180 average. So we got extra points because the teams we were bowling against, like my friend Terry and his daddy was a professional bowler. So he had a 200-plus average, and Terry was rolling like 190. So he had a good average. And because they had such good averages, they had to give us extra points or extra pins on each game. So we ended up taking the extra pins and shooting the lights out at Tropicana Bowling Alley. Yes, we stood our own, and we bowled really good. We bowled way above our average, and we were beating everybody. And people were just really surprised because on days that I should have been bowling like 160, I was bowling like 180, 185. They couldn't stop me. I was unstoppable. And my daddy, if he had a good day, he would bowl a 200 game, and then he'd come back and bowl like a 185, and then he'd roll a 190. So he was hanging around 200. So we had a good team because I was bowling way above my average at 160. I was bowling like 180s, 190s, 200s. Oh, yeah, we were shooting the lights out, and we really bowled good when we bowled against my friends that were pro bowlers. We had to put it down because we knew we had to bowl good in order to beat them because they always bowled good games. So we bowled well, and we won the league. And I was so proud of me and my dad. We held our trophies, and we took pictures and everything. And my daddy was really proud that he was on the team with me and that we had bowled well and we had won first place. And I was really happy. And then I bowled in the league with my mom, my dad, and a girl named Mary Murray. She had bowled on my travel team. So she bowled with us. It was a four-man team, and we did pretty good. We didn't win the league, but we won good enough to beat some teams that really should have beat us. But, you know, my mother came out with the big ball when we needed some strikes. She bowled some strikes, and she bowled high scores, like 200. She was really capable of bowling 200 games, and my daddy was capable of bowling a 200 game every now and then, and I would get hot every now and then and roll a 200, but I was mostly around 180, 185, 190. So, you know, my mother was the big ball, though. She rolled 220 and 230. And she was the one holding our team up. And then my friend, Mary Murray, she wasn't really a good bowler, but she could bowl like 130. So she kept her average up. And because she had a low score, a low average, we could get handicapped because she had a low average. So it worked out for my team. We had big bowlers, and we had medium bowlers, and then we had little sorry bowlers. But together, we were good enough to beat a lot of teams in the bowling league. And we traveled all over. I bowled at all the bowling alleys in Southern California. And when I was in the travel league, man, I bowled at every bowling alley in Southern California. I was bowling everywhere, and I was putting it down, and I was trying to get the best bowling league I could do the best bowling scores that I could possibly get. And so I really was trying to really be a good bowler, and I always had fun bowling with my mom and my dad, and we always bowled against my mom's friends and my daddy's friends. And they would always be saying, yeah, that's my son. And I'm like, yeah, and I'm the best bowler on the team. I always claimed that, even though I wasn't. But I always let everybody know they got to watch out for me because I'm going to be bowling good when we bowl against you. And I did my best. And every time we bowled against some of my daddy's teams, then I always bowled well. Because I wanted my daddy to be proud of me, and I wanted him to understand that I was really trying to be good. I really wanted to be a good bowler. So that's how we did it. And I came from a bowling family, and I think my brothers actually bowled a little bit. I don't really remember them bowling. Oh, yeah, my brothers bowled in their school league. Oh, yeah, I bowled in my high school league. I forgot about that. I went to Missile Bowl in Gardena, and I bowled with the kids from my high school. And they got mad because I was a good bowler. My team was good, and we were beating everybody. I was beating all the seniors and all the 11th graders. Oh, man, people from my school were mad because I was bowling so good. My team was really good, and I had a couple of good bowlers that were on my team. And we started bowling as 10th graders, and then we bowled on the same team together as 11th graders, and we bowled on the same team as 12th graders. So we really bowled good, and we wore Missile Bowl out. Boy, we went down there and shot the lights out, shot the pins out at Missile Bowl. I think I shot a high game about 260, and my high game bowling was 290, but it wasn't a real game. It was a no tap. So if you get 9 pins, they considered that a strike. And I got a whole bunch of 9 pin balls. So I was hitting the head pin and I was leaving 1 pin, but that was okay because that was considered a strike. But I really wanted to roll an all good game just by bowling a regular game. So I was bowling in the no-tap tournament, and I was doing really well. I bowled, and I beat a lot of people. I won some trophies, and I came home with my trophy, and I showed my brothers, and I was really proud. I had 65 trophies in my house when I came home, and I had gotten trophies for playing football and trophies for playing basketball. Oh, yeah, I was collecting trophies all around. So all through school, junior high school, elementary school and high school, I was winning trophies. And then I won trophies when I went to junior college, and I bowled in the league in junior college, and I won some trophies. So I was a good bowler. I had a good time until I went blind, and then I didn't bowl so good. I thought I was really going to be a good bowler at the blind center, and I was going to take everybody's money. I started telling them, we need to bowl for money, because I wanted to take all their money, but I had never bowled blind before. And when I found out that I couldn't bowl blind, that I was throwing the ball in the gutter, I was like, oh, no, this ain't fun no more. And my arm was sore, so I could only bowl one game at a time. I couldn't even bowl 3 games like I was used to. I had to bowl one game, and we had to quit because I just couldn't do it. Being blind is a whole different bowling experience. And I found that out by, trying to bowl against everybody in my blind center. I joined the bowling league, and I tried to beat everybody. And I told them, we need to bowl for money. But I didn't know that I was going to be throwing the ball in the gutter all the time. I couldn't hit the head pin. My ball was running across the lanes, and I was missing the head pin by a mile. It wasn't no fun because I couldn't get a bunch of strikes. I was barely getting spares. But that was my bowling experience as a blind person. So that was a situation that I dealt with in Las Vegas. So I think that's all of my story that I want to talk about. We bowled all over L.A. County, so I bowled in a lot of bowling alleys. and I went to a lot of bowling alleys, and I kept score. And I traveled with my mama all over the place, and I traveled with my daddy all over the place. And my mom and dad bowled on travel teams that went from state to state bowling. And they always won trophies when they went state to state. My mother went with a whole bunch of ladies' teams, and their teams were always really good. But my daddy went with a lot of men bowling teams. But as he got older, he kind of lost his ability to bowl real good. He couldn't get any strikes. He was bowling like 200 games, and then he slid down to just bowling like 180, and then he went down to bowling 160, and then he went down to bowling 130, and then he was bowling 120s, and then his friends that he had bowled in tournaments with didn't even want him on their team no more because he couldn't bowl 120. He just totally lost his stroke, and they didn't want him on his team. So they stopped bowling with him, and that's when he took up golf, and he became a golfing sensation. And my mother wanted to find out why my daddy was spending so much time playing golf that she started going out playing golf, and she started a woman's golf club in Carson, California, and she went out and she was setting up tournaments, and she was winning the golfing tournament. So my mother ended up being a real good bowler and a real good golfer. But the last time I saw my mother bowl, she came to Vegas and bowled in a league with a whole bunch of old women. And usually she cleans up. But this time she came down to Vegas and she just wasn't right. I don't know what was wrong with her. I tried to watch her while she was bowling. And then I went and sat down at the table while she was bowling so I could talk to her about what she was doing. But she didn't really understand what was going on. And then we found out she had dementia and Alzheimer's. And that's why her game went all the way to the bottom. So she went from bowling 200s and 190s and 180s to barely even breaking 100. It was a sad situation. I hated to see my mother bowling bad like that because that was her sport. She was a bowler, and she bowled all over the city, and people always wanted her to bowl on their team. And she got to the point where she just couldn't break 100. It was really bad, and I felt sorry for her. And that's the story of my bowling family and my family in general. All right. Well, that's the end of my story. I hope you enjoyed my story today. And now it's time for us to get back to the radio show. So DJ Papa D, play a Coolio song. And then play my song that I recorded using Coolio's music. Gangster's Paradise is his song. And my song is I Don't Gang Bang, I Play Ball. And that's the song I made with Coolio's music. So back to the show.
I As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize it's not enough. Cause I've been flapping and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying and chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like. On my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light. Situation they got me facing, I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the shit, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tin in my hand and the gleam in my eye. I'm a loped out gangster, set tripping banker, and my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life do or die. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but will I live to see 24? The way things are going, I don't know. After minute, hour after hour, everybody's running. But half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen. But I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
I don't gangbang, I play ball. I don't gangbang, I play ball. I went to Catholic school, and I was a schoolboy. I did good in school, and made the honor roll. I played football, basketball, baseball, and ran track, and I never did have to watch my back. I don't gangbang, I play ball. I don't gangbang, I play ball. I was born and raised in South Central LA, where the Crips were born and the gangsters game to play. I got a pass.
What's up, G-Dub?
From the Crips in my hood. They knew I was an athlete, and they knew I was good. I don't gang bang. I play ball. I don't gang bang. I play ball. I played baseball with Daryl Strawberry and Eric Davis at St. Andrew's Park. But don't get me twisted. I don't bow down. But don't get me twisted. And I don't cry. If you come to me with some stupid shit, you're gonna go home with a fat lip and a black eye. I don't gang bang. I play ball. I don't gang bang. I play ball. I went to college on a baseball scholarship, and I could have went pro, but I got hit with a hanging curveball, and that's how it goes. So now I'm in Vegas, a comedian on the strip, writing jokes and songs, because that's my gift. I don't gang bang. I play ball. I don't gang bang. I play ball. I grew up in South Central LA, but you had to be tough to go outside and play. But now I'm G-Money, the Pimp Thomas. And if you don't know, you better ask somebody, and they'll tell you it's so.
Candle on my birthday cake. We're gonna bake a birthday cake. Put another candle on my birthday cake. I'm another year old today. I'm gonna have a party with my birthday cake.
Yeah, what's up, Las Vegas and everybody around the world? Well, it's showtime. It's time to shut it down and to get out of here, and we'll see you tomorrow on Friday's show. But before I go, let me acknowledge all the people that are celebrating their birthdays today on September 29th, 2022. So, DJ Papa D, do we have any birthdays today that we need to celebrate? Any of my fans? Any of my friends? Any of my fan clubs?
Yes, we do. Happy birthday to Robert Powell, who's 53 years old today. Happy birthday to Wanda Alexander, who's 57 years young today. Happy birthday, Vicky ATX Renee. Happy birthday, Lisa Matthews Green. Happy birthday, Ann Culbreth Wells. Happy birthday to Aaron Rudolph. Happy birthday to Ronnie Hazel. Happy birthday to Melvia Johnson. Happy birthday, Robert Sessions. Happy birthday, Anthony E. Florence. And last but not least, happy birthday to Joshua Green. And happy birthday to everyone else who's celebrating their birthday today, September 29th, 2022.
Well, all right. Hey, DJ, what's the zodiac sign for this month? Are we getting ready to go into Libra for the month of October? Who is September? September was Virgo.
I believe we are already in Libra.
Okay, so we just got out of Virgo, right?
Right, got out of Virgo. Libra started on September 22nd, and it goes until October 23rd.
All righty then. for all of my Libras in the house. Those are my best friends. I always have fun when I'm running around with Libra women. I don't know about the Libra men, but the Libra women, I always have a good time with my Libra friends. So I want to wish you all happy birthday, and may God bless you with the grace and glory that he's allowed you to live this long and to be blessed by our Lord and Savior, who died for our sins so that we can have life after death. I say happy day, happy birthday, and have a good day today and a better day tomorrow, as we'll be ending the month of September in a couple of days. And then we'll be October bound. And my little brother, Big Nasty, his birthday is October 5th. So we'll be giving him a shout out next month for sure. All right. Well, DJ Papa D, I want to say I'll see you tomorrow. And we're going to wish everybody a good evening and a merry, merry, merry Christmas to them. A merry Christmas. A happy birthday to them, and have a good day today and a better day tomorrow. And may they get some presents, the things that they've been wishing for and wanting for all the days of their lives. May they receive some really nice gifts from the family and the loved ones that really love them and respect them as they are the best they can be. And we want to say at the end, I want to say, let us pray. Talking to you as Reverend G. Money, because I've read in the Bible that says if two or more people come together in my name, I will be there. Well, I hope we had more than two people praying with me so that God could be in our midst and help us get through this situation, because only God can stop this virus, since we're not smart enough to stop it ourselves. So I want to take my platform, take my radio show, and I want to use this opportunity so that we can pray to God. I think we should have prayer, and all of the listeners can join me in prayer. And I pray that God gives me the words and the wisdom to say the right thing, and gives me the knowledge to impress everybody with my wisdom, and have the Holy Spirit bless me at this time. In the name of God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray to you that you come down and you dissolve this virus that's affecting everybody around the world. I ask that you stop the death and the dying, and you stop the machine guns and the killing on the planet, and you stop the burials and the wars that are going on the planet. I ask that you come in and you interrupt the devil for what he's trying to do to the earth. I ask that you stop the virus and slow down or eliminate all the deaths from the virus in the United States and around the world. I ask you, Lord, that you take control of the school district, so that they do the right thing, so that kids don't go to school and infect their teachers and infect other students with the virus. the ones that have the virus or the ones that don't even know if they have the virus, but they're going to school and being in crowded classrooms anyway. Lord, I ask you to stop all the prejudice and all the gun violence in the world, that we can stop people from killing each other, that we can interrupt all of the hate and the prejudice on the planet, that we can stop the wars on the planet, and that we can live in peace and harmony, that black and white and Asians and Mexicans and Indians can all get along, because we're all in this place together and we are living for the purpose of trying to be good citizens. And we ask that you bless us with your graces and stop all of the violence and get rid of all of the evil that the devil is presenting to the planet. And you pray for our president, because we really didn't know what we were doing when we elected Donald Trump as president. He's really turning out to be an idiot. And we need to have some real leadership in this time of pandemic affairs. So I ask you, Lord, in the name of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I ask you to bless us and save us from all of the ignorance that's bestowed upon us on this planet. And I also want to pray that we get the cure for the virus. Lord Jesus, I ask you, since you are the Savior of the world, to continue to bless us and look over us and look after us as we are doing the best we can to exist on this planet together among each other. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory is yours, now and forever. And in your name, I say, hallelujah, 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 Lord God on high. Amen.
Joining Gregory Gerard on Blog Talk Radio. Gregory Stories is live on the air every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 3 p.m. Las Vegas time. Gregory invites you to visit him at blogtalkradio.com/Gregory Gerard, where you can listen to past episodes, subscribe to his show, leave a comment, and find him on social media. If you are a talented artist with original music, send your press kit and a sample of your original music to Gregory Gerard at BigMouthGVGPromotions@gmail.com. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, contact Gregory at BigMouthGVGPromotions@gmail.com. If you're interested in learning more about how you can help solve homelessness in Las Vegas, contact Gregory Girard at
BigMouthGVGPromotions@gmail.com.
Gregory Stories is produced by Big Nasty Records, a subsidiary of Big Nasty Promotions, LLC.
What up?
Are you on your way?
Yeah, I'm on my way.
Well, look, hurry up, because everyone's here, okay?
All right, I'm on my way.
This is some of the lingua franca of the funk business. And people come from miles around with an almost religious devotion to get on down.
Ain't a fantastic voice, but I'm still on the mission to see if I can get your attention. Now I want to drop some information, just a little attitude to your education. I live my life by the code of the funk, 600 wide, 18's in the trunk. Put them on the street, you gotta feel my beat. So throw your hands up if you're down with the seat. Double O-L-I-O with the flow. I'm looking for the body, so better know. 1, 2, 3, it's like ABC. If hip-hop didn't pay, I'd rap for free. Slide, vibe, attack the path. I got something brand new for the day.
Get down.
Hey, Coolio, I'm telling you, homie, I can't be broke this time. I'm gonna go get a job. Get a job? Yeah. Fool, you gotta go down to the county, bro, to get you some GR.
7 in the morning, standing in the line. 3 fools in the front of me, drinking on the wine. 2 in the back of me, sucking on a drink. And 1 in the back of them, begging for a new port. There's 4 or 5 suckers way, way in the back. Stoop down low in the crowd, smoking crack. They're looking at me funny, cause I got a record out. And a nigga with a record out, supposed to have some clout. A fourth of the people in the line need help, but the other fourth of that half can help they self. A fourth of the people haven't been fed, and all of the rest are fucked up in the head. A bald head face, bitch, is about to make me laugh. And a nigga who need a bath is after for my autograph. Ain't nothing changed but the time. I gotta get mine, so I'm standing in the county line. Here comes another stop, asking if I rap. I don't say a word, cause he knows that I do. I'm down with the mad ass, you know who. I take a number and a suit, I'm sweating from the heat. Somebody got their shoes off, I smell their feet. My number is 80, it says no 20. I look up at the clock, and now it's 10:30. Free butter and cheese, oh please, oh please. Can I get my food stamp so I can leave? I got money and a car, but they don't know it. Now they ask a gang of questions, cause I told them I was homeless. I'm living in the car, brought back in the alley. But I used to stack up with the hooker named Sally. Line after line, rough is the time. My life is in the bind, so I'm standing in the county line.
Just
talking to a social worker. She thinks I'm a fool, but I know that I can jerk her.
Punk ass hoe sitting behind a window, old toe up ass chump, running that old weak shit come out.
You have a penitentiary record.
I say I know that bitch.
She wants to know what kind of work do I do. I said I haven't worked since 1982. I can't find a job, though I looked and I looked. Took one hit of the crack and was hooked. She's sitting there wondering when I get to the point. And the whole time I'm wishing I can smoke me a joint. Doctor's welfare project, that's next. And in a few weeks I get my check. Now I got to wait for them to call me through the window so I can get a voucher for the hotel and the bus show. It's 5:13 by the clock on the wall. Vote for some change so I can make a phone call. Shit's getting out of this time to 29. That's why so many niggas are standing in the county line.
Don't you dare laugh.